Next on BYU Sports Nation, it's game day eve for BYU men's basketball at the Big 12 tournament. Would we all rather see the Cougars have a rematch with Cincinnati or Iowa State? And how will BYU's performance in Kansas City impact their placement in the NCAA tournament on Selection Sunday? We'll discuss all of the potential scenarios.
Assistant coach Chris Burgess joins the program from Kansas City. How's the team preparing for tomorrow? And do they want Cincinnati or Iowa State? And A.J. DiBonza is back on the show. His favorite moment from BYU's regular season and which team he'd like to see the Cougars play in the Big 12 tournament.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're enjoying this fabulous Wednesday, March 12th. My name is Spencer Linton. I'm here in Provo, Utah. Jerem Jordan, once again at T-Mobile Center, joins us live from Kansas City. And Jerem, as I understand it, you're a pretty big fan of Boney Fuller, are you not?
I love Boney Fuller. In fact, there have been people previously that thought I was associated with the account of Boney Fuller. I cannot confirm nor deny said association as it gets real loud here in the pregame. They're getting after it. These Cyclone fans are enjoying the noise.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Boney Fuller apparently paid John Gruden on Cameo to do the following. This is hilarious.
Found this box. This box is laying on my dang floor. I opened it up. And the only thing I find in it is a stat sheet. Dick sends a big box to your office, and all that's in there is a stat sheet. What the heck? And it says BYU beat Utah on this stat sheet 22-21. And I got to tell you, in all my years of coaching, I have never seen a more obvious defensive holding call in my life.
John, tell him, coach! It was a hold.
Yes, it was. That's
so
great.
Good.
I don't care if they paid him to do it. That's so funny.
Hey, while the tornado warning is happening there, we should probably update people.
Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Goodness.
It's just loud.
We should probably tell people that this video is in response to John Gruden receiving a swag box from the University of Utah the next day. Of course, he got this crazy stat sheet that showed up, and he just happened to declare that it was a clear defensive hold, and BYU won the game.
John Gruden loves the Cougs.
I tell you what, I like that Jake Retzlaff. That guy can really sling it. All rise
BYU
and
shout.
BYU can
throw the ball.
It's time for What's Trending. One of the more entertaining postseason conference tournaments in all of college basketball.
This BYU team has been amazing. There are opportunities here in this tournament to move up and be better. You've got to be able to find your rhythm in the T-Mobile Center.
If BYU won the Big 12 tournament, that would be unbelievable.
Sound the alarm. What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Jerem, it is all hands on deck for BYU after a top four finish and the double bye. They await the winner of one of the games that you're going to watch very closely here in just a little bit between 5-seed Iowa State and 13-seed Cincinnati in Kansas City. So, first question, and we have several that we're going to discuss today. Would you rather have a rematch with Iowa State or Cincinnati if you were in BYU's shoes tomorrow after the double bye?
I'm literally in BYU shoes, so not their shoes, but I have BYU on my shoes.
Nice.
I might be deaf by the time I go into the arena today.
Keep your focus. Let's go.
I would rather have Cincinnati because I want BYU to get to Friday, Spence. I don't know that another quad one win against Iowa State helps BYU in the way that maybe we think. Obviously, a quad one win and another win against Iowa State would be amazing. But I want BYU to get to Friday more than I want a quad one win against Iowa State. I want a chance at the other Cougars to see what BYU can do after that 31-point loss in January. So I want Cincinnati to win today. Now, if you tell me BYU gets to play Iowa State again and they win, hey, that's great. Don't get me wrong. But I'm more focused on, like, getting to Friday through whoever it is. I don't care who it is.
I would love to have BYU get another crack at the team to last beat BYU, which was Cincinnati. You got to go all the way back to the road game at Cincinnati to think about the last time BYU actually had a setback. So I really like the idea of BYU rectifying that and winning the season series after a split, each team winning on their respective home floor. So I do like that dynamic. And yes, to your point, Cincinnati, not the opponent that Iowa State is. So If I'm a BYU fan today, I am definitely rooting for the Bearcats because it is the quote-unquote easier path. And let's be careful with the use of easy, right? Because this is a Cincinnati team that ran BYU out of their building, and they're still a really good team. But the idea of Iowa State being ramped up again after BYU won in Ames, they're going to have all the motivation in the world. So I'm with you. I like Cincinnati for the reasons discussed. However, they're not going to help BYU necessarily jump a seed line on Selection Sunday or make any sort of prominent statement.
Would beating Iowa State jump BYU a seed line?
Maybe. I think so. And Sean Farnham, as a matter of fact, talked with us yesterday and said as much. If you beat Iowa State, maybe that's enough to push BYU up a seed line. I don't know that it's going to push them from a 5 to a 4, but to me it would solidify BYU as a 5 seed because I still feel like the Cougars are probably somewhere around a 6. I think they deserve a 5, but I think they're probably going to show up as a 6. If you beat Iowa State, then there is the advantage there. It pushes them up to a 5, in my opinion. Do you see it differently?
No, and let me tell you why Iowa State's going to win this game. One, they're better. Two, there's no direct flights from Cincinnati to Kansas City, apparently. So there's just not as many Cincinnati fans. And so Iowa State, like, it's all Cyclone fans walking in right now to this game that starts in 24 minutes. Like, they travel so well to this game. 3.5 hours north is where Ames is. Kansas puts the most butts in the seat here, and then it's Iowa State from my experience from last year and this year. So, yeah, to your point, how will BYU's results in the Big 12 tournament affect their NCAA tournament seeding? Here's the aforementioned soundbite from Sean Farnham on the show yesterday.
And the win against Iowa State at Iowa State is more impactful than a neutral site win over Iowa State.
Amen.
Okay, so if you win against Iowa State again, sure, that might, you know, maybe now we're talking about moving up another line. So there are opportunities here in this tournament because of the strength of the conference to move up and be better. At the most, you're going to move up a line. I don't think you'll move down a line at all because a loss to Iowa State doesn't hurt.
So just maybe, Jeremy.
Okay, what if BYU wins in the quarterfinals and then they lose in the semifinals?
Yeah, this is interesting.
What's the seeding implication?
It is fascinating because, to Sean's point, just playing Iowa State and losing to them, in his opinion, would not hurt BYU. If BYU, heaven forbid, got a matchup with Cincinnati and then lost that game, would that bump BYU down, or is Cincinnati a good enough team? There are so many moving parts here, but just to keep the process simple, while I am making it more complicated, to keep it simple, if BYU loses to Iowa State in the quarters, I'm with Sean. I think they stay right where they are. They're probably a 6 seed on Selection Sunday. But if you win that game and you get to the semifinals and have a shot at Houston, maybe it bumps BYU's metrics up a little bit just to play Houston a second time. And obviously you've beaten a really good Iowa State team for a second time. You're 2-0 against the Cyclones. That, to me, puts BYU in the 5 seed line. But let's push it a step further, Jerem. What do you think? If BYU gets to the semifinals and they upset Houston and get to the championship game but lose in the championship, is that enough to maybe make BYU gulp a 4 seed?
They would secure at least a 5. I don't know where on the 4 or 5 line they would be, but it feels like they would be securely in a 5, maybe in a 4. The only way they're a 4 to me is if they win this tournament. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's probably going to be BYU's got to stay on a heater. And at that point, they would have won how many games in a row? 11 games in a row.
11.
And you probably go through Iowa State, Houston, and Texas Tech. Then you have absolutely earned every bit of that number 4 seed. The likelihood of such, not great. We get it. Like, this conference is loaded, so loaded at the top. But I'm kind of just...
I didn't see Pepperdine or Santa Clara walk in here, so yeah, I think it's just a little bit harder.
I'm kind of just okay with the idea of BYU beating potentially Iowa State in the quarterfinals, and then let's see where it goes from there. But can we really be that picky, Jerem? Can we be picky at this point?
The 8-game win streak was amazing, and we've enjoyed it. And now it's time to define the season next week, but help your seeding. Like, the way to win in the NCAA tournament is to get the best seed possible and then go from there. We've talked about it a million times. In 2011, why does BYU make the Sweet 16? Well, Jimmer Fredette, but 3 seed. They earned a great seed. They played a 14 in Wofford. Then they played an 11 in Gonzaga, who upset the 6 St. John's. They're in the Sweet 16 because they beat a 14 and an 11. They earned the right to do that. What will this BYU team do? Can they get a 5 and play a 12? Those make you a little nervous. The 50% thing with 12s beating 5s. It goes 50% the other way as well. And then you're playing a 4 or 13. Like, that's a good spot for BYU. What I don't want is for BYU to somehow slide. They were on the 6 line. They slide to a 7 with Sunday play. They beat a 10. Now they're playing a 2 seed?
No.
Who would have been a 1 seed in a cup in a different multiverses? No. That's not what we want. So win Thursday, get to Friday. Hopefully no worse than a 6, maybe a 5. If they do even better than that, great. The seeding helps you a ton, especially BYU in the NCAA tournament, where they've not pulled off a ton of upsets historically. But you know what? Kevin Young doesn't know or care about the history of BYU with this. He's got a different history he's trying to create. So I'm not sure that any of that matters, because Kevin Young and his vision have elevated BYU this season, getting A.J. DeBonta. It's all in a new direction.
Okay, so let's recap these four scenarios very quickly, just to make sure that, because I believe we're on the same page. Scenario one, yes. BYU wins in the quarterfinals, whether it's against Iowa State or Cincinnati, but they lose to Houston in the semifinals. We both feel good about BYU being a 5 seed, correct?
I think it might be 6. Okay. I just don't know on the Sunday play thing.
Okay, that is the X factor, no doubt about it. Okay, BYU pulls a stunner. They beat Houston, get to championship Saturday, but lose in said championship game. Is that enough to get BYU onto the 4 seed? Like, if you beat Houston, is that powerful enough to say BYU is a 4 seed?
Maybe, because they won 10 of 11, right? I think at least a 5, maybe a 4.
Oof.
I just tend to think that if you what you think it is, it's probably going to drop a seed. I don't know if that's the pessimist in me, the tinfoil hat with the Sunday play thing or not. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy, but I just feel like that now.
Okay, and then as we wrap up this recap, BYU wins the Big 12 tournament. We both feel like you've earned the 4 seed.
Four.
No doubt about
yes.
it. You have earned a 4 seed. And then the last one, heaven forbid, BYU loses to whoever they play in tomorrow morning's game. We both feel like they wouldn't slide. They should still feel safe, yes,
6.
As a 6 seed. Okay, that does it. Those are your scenarios. Our question of the day, how do you feel about it all? How much will BYU's performance in the Big 12 tournament this season impact the Cougars' placement on Selection Sunday? Ben Peterson on X, in with our first response today, says, I think BYU can lock up a 5 seed or better with a win on Thursday. If the Cougars don't win tomorrow, it could give the committee a reason to put them as a 6 or 7 seed. My only concern there, Jeremy, is if Cincinnati upsets Iowa State today and BYU lost to Cincinnati, would that then give the committee pause to say, maybe BYU is a 7 seed because they didn't beat Cincinnati again?
I don't think BYU would be a 7 with 6 quad 1 wins. I think UCF climbed into the top 75 overnight, if I recall. And so BYU now has 6 quad 1 wins. 6-6. That's really good. That doesn't scream 7 seed. They will have won 8 of 9 games going into March Madness. Still hot, even if they lost tomorrow to either Iowa State or Cincinnati. I think BYU is in a really good spot either way. But what we want is at least a 6, because we feel like this team is as good as last year's team.
Yes.
And again, the ocean varies in its level from year to year in terms of like how everyone performs and what seed you are. It just feels like BYU deserves at least a 6. This team deserves a 5 at this point. They're playing like a 2 seed right now.
My goodness.
Maybe a 1 seed.
They have.
I'm not saying they deserve a 1 or 2, but they're playing like those.
Yeah, games. No. Over this 8-game win streak, according to all of those advanced metrics, they've been the second best team in the country behind only Duke.
It's Mark Torvik.
Yes, Mark Torvik's metric, right? It's incredible. Okay. Bart Torvik aside, let's get one more response in. At Game Day, BYU on X says, a loss won't mean much for BYU. Each win, they say, moves BYU up a seed line. There might be some truth in that if you're starting as like a 7 seed, so or a 6 seed, because if you win, bump up to a 5. You beat Houston, bump up to a 4. I don't think they can go any higher than a 4, though, correct? Like, 4 is the absolute
Amen.
Ceiling.
I feel the same.
Okay, weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And by the way, can I just say something? I've had several people say, Spencer, BYU doesn't want a 5 seed. It's cursed. They don't want to play at 12. Do you remember what happened with the 11 seeds last year and what historically has been happening with the 11 seeds? The 11 seed is now the most common seed to upset a better team in the tournament. Like, the 6-11
Kevin Young doesn't care. He's never coached in March Madness. This is all new to him. He doesn't care about this.
Give him a 5 seed. Give him a 5 seed. And again, weigh in on X, yes, Facebook, and Instagram. Number 17, BYU men's basketball. Oh, yeah, they're ranked in the top 20. We'll play in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament tomorrow. Game tips at 12:30 Eastern. Join me and JT, Jonathan Tabernari, as we have your simulcast and discuss BYU's chances in the Big 12 bracket and the NCAA tournament. After the break, assistant coach Chris Burgess, boots on the ground in KC, joins us and Jerem from Kansas City. How is the team preparing to play better than they already have? That's a tall ask because they're at the top of the peak, it seems. And do they want Cincinnati or Iowa State? Stay with us.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. My name is Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan is live in Kansas City and has tracked down one of our favorite people, BYU men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess, on game day eve. Jerem?
That's right, Chris. How was the flight in?
It was easy. Short flight. Obviously, spirits are super high right now. Playing well. Tournament time. March. And so... It was a shorter flight. Got a lot of work done. The guys seemed in really good spirits.
What's the plan today?
Watch the game as a team. A few of us coaches will be live scouting it. So just, you know, clean up a few things, getting our film ready, preparing as best we can. But really, the guys are going to be walking around doing some, you know, things in the weight room or things kind of in the meeting room just to get their bodies going, whether it's rolling out, stretching, things like that with Coach Wiz. But at the end of the day, they're going to watch the game together, you know, since the Iowa State here, out there at the hotel. And then what we'll do is we'll, as soon as the game's over, we'll meet as a staff. We'll kind of go through practice, game prep, head over to the court, get a nice little sweat in and keep the spirits high, keep the energy high, keep the joy in the gym super high. And then it's March, man. It's about being fresh, about being motivated, it's about being locked in.
Let's talk about the two different potential matchups. Cincinnati's the last team to beat BYU. If they upset Iowa State, that wouldn't be the worst thing in terms of motivation for this group, right?
Yeah, totally different. Two different teams. They really took it to us at their place. They shot the ball extremely well. I thought that, you know, we had a solid first half, but, man, they just punked us in the second half, and that's when I, you know, felt like we had to do a little soul searching in terms of being tougher on the road. They're good. They're well coached. You know, obviously they haven't had the year they expected, but, you know, this is March. It's one of those teams where sometimes the talent can take over. They're way different than Iowa State, right? Their big guy sits in the paint the whole time. They sit and drop coverage where Iowa State's going to hound you, pressure you, pick you up, and slap at the ball all game long, no matter what position you are. But, I mean, we'll see who we play. But this is such a good league. It's just like they're all quad one type teams.
What do you feel like this team can or wants to prove in this tournament, given how hot you guys still are right now?
Honestly, like, at this point, we're just trying to do the best we can to, you know, get the best seed we can going into the NCAA tournament, have a little momentum, play with the best of them. This tournament's as hard as any in the country, and that includes the NCAA tournament. It's just a hard tournament, right? And so I think for us, it's continued to prove that we belong. We belong in the top 15 in the country. We belong with the best of them. And to play against a team like Cincy, Iowa State, or potentially Houston, Arizona, Texas Tech, like, those teams are teams that, like, a lot of people come Selection Sunday are going to have type Final Four, you know, circled in their brackets.
Talking to Chris Burgess here live in Kansas City, BYU assistant coach. What kind of leverage do you feel like you can have or make this week to get yourself the best seed possible? Because there's talk of 5, 6, 7 right now.
I mean, win, right? When, you know, no matter who we play tomorrow, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a quad one game. So another quad one opportunity. And then if you win that, more than likely Vegas odds would say now you're playing the number two team in the country, number three team in the country, whatever Houston is. And, you know, and then if you win that, right, you got another. It's all quad ones from here on out. And so it tells the committee, hey, what we've been doing the last, 11, 12 games, we've been one of the hottest teams, the best team in the country. And it also, you know, from a mentality standpoint, it you know, our guys, you know, leave every single locker room knowing that we could, you know, we're one of the best teams in the country. So there's a lot to prove, but the biggest thing is, like, we're trying to make it about ourselves as best we can in terms of getting better and trying to continue to peak at the right time.
It's been an unbelievable peaking at the right time situation. 8-game win streak, 3 ranked wins, all the 5 quad one wins. What's sustainable into this tournament from what you guys have already done?
Playing with pace, we really do. Our depth, right? Our depth allows us to play with pace because we can distribute the minutes when we need to. Shooting the basketball and holding space. Like, I think we do a really good job of, you know, holding space, shooting the basketball, finding shooters, but also winning in different ways, right? You look at the streak that we've been on. You know, West Virginia, they want to take away the three-point line. We won in the paint. Other teams want to take away the rim. We get them at the three-point line. You know, Utah was kind of a slugfest for the first half, and we kind of just tried to wear them out with, you know, playing fast and moving the ball and just, you know, doing everything we can to wear them out with our depth. And so I think that those things all translate. At the end of the day, right, you guys look at all the teams that make runs. They got great guard play, and we feel really good about our guards. You know, so obviously starting with Down and Yegor, and then we have an all-league guy in Richie, right? And so I think you have to have that to win, and we feel really good about it.
Kevin Young said, hey, I want this to be the best place for top talent to come and develop. Obviously, getting AJ is a big deal. But to me, the feather in Kevin's cap and the staff's cap is, look at what we did with Richie Saunders. How proud of you guys were of his development. And he becomes a first-team all Big 12 guy.
It's a testament. First of all, I think it's a testament to, you know, Richie's hard work. I mean, as everybody knows, Richie, you see him on the court and you see how hard he played. That's who he is 24/7. You know, when I first, you know, got back to the Annex Center here at BYU, I mean, the kid's in there at 6 a.m., 6:30, 7 a.m., just working on his floater, working on his catch, shoot three, sprinting off screens, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour and a half. And the kid works extremely hard. I think that as well, like, you know, he's playing around guys that, like, know how to find him the ball, deliver him the ball, and believe in him. And I think our system's been really good for him. I think that the way we play with pace, I think that the way we space the floor and asking him, we talk about 0.5 in the basketball. Richie's as good as making a 0.5 decision as they're in the country, meaning catch and shoot, rip and drive, get to the rim, get to the free throw line. And so I think it's a testament to everything. Credit to his teammates. And, you know, Richie, right, he's never going to – he doesn't love these individual accolades. Everything for him is about winning and about the team, and that's what makes him super special. But, yeah, it's you know, from day one being around Richie, he just puts in a lot of work. He puts in a lot of work.
Kevin Young has not experienced March Madness. He's talked about how he's thought about how fun this would be. What's the conversation been like as a staff of, like, what this and next week and hopefully more weeks are like?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is, like, you know, obviously finding the right game plan. That's always important. Having the right adjustments. Kevin and, you know, the NBA guys on our staff have more experience with adjustments than probably all of his college guys, just with the NBA and him playing in NBA conference, finals and, you know, the NBA playoffs and game by game. So that's going to be similar. The only difference is it's game 7. Every game is game 7, right? There's no game 1, it's game 7. I think that's the difference. You have to have that kind of mentality. And I think the other thing is, like, what I've always, I believe this since I was a player, and I thought this is what Coach, you know, Krzyzewski was really good at. It's like staying fresh and staying motivated, right? Staying fresh and staying motivated and not looking past. He used to break the tournament down into weekends, and so it would always be a 14 bracket. And so you try to just, you look at the 68 teams, it can become a little overwhelming, all the teams around, but if you can break it down into 4 teams, it's not as a big of a turn. You know what I mean? So, like, he was really good at that. And so I've tried to always try to instill that and, you know, talk about that as well. It's like, make the bracket smaller. Make it smaller. Don't think about the 68. Don't think about the Final Four. Think about, let's win this weekend. How do you do that?
Chris, thanks for the time, and best of luck this week in the tournament.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Spencer?
Fantastic stuff from Chris Burgess, BYU men's basketball assistant coach. Obviously, a lot happening there. I just appreciate the focus of those two. One, we had the cyclone drill going on before we got into the interview, and then the drums continuing to go. This is next level focus. You could tell Burge is dialed in. Jerem, tell me that guy is not absolutely honed in on the mission ahead for BYU.
He's absolutely dialed in. Prior to the conversation, we were talking about what Lenardi had said. He said, who dropped? What's going on? You know, as an 11, that's tough. UCLA beat us in 2021. He knows. This is one of the guys on the staff that's been in college that knows. He played at Duke, like you just talked about. He played for Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
So BYU's going to be adequately prepared and motivated. The hope is they can continue to validate what they've done this year. Because what I would hate, Spence, is if BYU doesn't perform well on Thursday and then any kind of tiny little doubt creeps in, even though they would have won 8 of 9, you want to beat Iowa State again and kind of assert yourself, get another quad one win, secure yourself at least as a 6, like we feel. And BYU's coming in as the hottest team in the league. Houston, you could argue, is the hottest team, but BYU, yes, right there, man. They've never played better, ever, going into a tournament. You talk about Danny Ainge and what they were, a sixth seed. They were third place in the WAC back in 81. Jimmer Fredette, they didn't win the Mountain West Conference Championship. They were awesome, but like this team in this league with these wins, this is the hottest BYU team coming into March ever, I dare say.
So speaking of bracketology and Joe Lunardi, who have been referenced several times in today's show, Bracket Matrix now has BYU on average of a 6.72 seed in all 109 of the brackets that they are tracking. I still think 6.72 is a little bit too low, not really showing what we feel BYU is. But that said, doesn't matter. It comes down to Selection Sunday. Joe Lunardi, in his latest update, has BYU as a 5 seed, but playing in Providence, Rhode Island, where things did not go well this season for BYU. They're trying to exercise some demons back there, maybe. The matchup is against Liberty. So, that said, would you rather BYU have a better matchup in Providence as a 5 seed or be closer to home, play in Denver as a 6 seed, and then understandably get a tougher team who's going to be on the 11 seed line?
I know the fans want location. If you're in Denver, that's the maximum amount of fans that you could get at a game. What I'm more concerned about is the matchup, because I want BYU to win more than I want fans to be at the game. If you say, hey, they lose, but there are a lot of fans in the game, I don't really care. I want BYU to win in the NCAA tournament. We all do. So give me the matchup that is most favorable, regardless of, frankly, seed and location. Because it's not even about seed with the matchup, but you can't determine that, right? We want the highest seed possible, which you think would be the best seed. But I just want BYU to be in a favorable matchup. And what matchup is there, Spence, where it's not favorable outside of playing a Houston type? Iowa State is similar to Houston, but BYU showed they can win that game. They've won at Arizona. We have confidence that BYU can hang and play and beat most teams in the country. Like, if BYU played Duke right now, it's like, hey, Duke's probably going to win that game. But BYU's going to hang and make it interesting.
Sure.
So I feel pretty confident about almost every matchup. It's like, yeah, fouls all day and 29 turnovers, you can still win that game. It's like, wow. The ceiling's very high for BYU.
So to your point about just give me the best matchup, Liberty's a good basketball team. Let's take nothing away from the Flames. They're a good basketball team, deserve to be.
We owe them one for football in 22.
Absolutely. There is that interesting angle on the 12-seed line. Now, the 11 seeds right now, according to Joe Lunardi, just for fun, okay? Arkansas, okay? Vanderbilt.
Calipari.
VCU. And either Oklahoma or Indiana. All of those teams are good, Jerem. All of them. I'm with you. It's like, okay, yeah, Providence, not a great location. Like, BYU's got to fly all the way across the country, and they didn't play well in that gym earlier this year. But if it's the best matchup,
who cares?
Yeah. See, go back to what happened. You went all the way to Providence last time in 81 and had a historic run. So, to me, I'm with you. Give me the matchup. Denver would be a BYU home game of sorts. There'd be a ton of BYU fans there. But if you're playing, I don't know, Arkansas, who's on a heater of their own in the SEC, is that a better matchup? No. Like, I don't like that. Location doesn't matter to me. Give me BYU's best opportunity.
This isn't real estate.
Advance. No. And we're talking about a team that hasn't
been. It's not about location.
Talking about
matchups.
A team that hasn't been to
matchups.
The round of 32 in 14 years. Whatever it takes.
Too long.
Okay.
It's about to change this and next year.
I know. And speaking of next year, the Big 12, you were there in Kansas City when this all went down, so they made some changes.
They did. They said, we're going to 18 games next year instead of 20 in league. They cited non-conference and wanting to get some buys into conference play. What do you make of this?
I think this is the right move. 20 conference games with no buys, and you find out the hard way because you just went through it. That is so difficult. I think every coach in the league, I don't think there's one coach in this league that's not like, oh, that's not happy about 18 games. That they're all saying, yes, please, give us a break. Like this, it's an absolute gauntlet, and it also gives you a little bit of leeway in your non-conference scheduling to go out and put together a stronger non-con strength of schedule. This is the one detriment on BYU's resume this year. Like, well, you only had 11 games, and so there are fewer opportunities by nature of just fewer games, to go out and make a statement early in the season. So I like this. There's nothing I don't like about this. Are you on board 100% for this, or are you more of a 20-game conference schedule guy?
It gives me initially some pause because BYU just went 14-6 in this situation. Like, what wasn't to love about what BYU just did in a 20-game schedule? But I can see the need in the non-conference. I think BYU's non-conference might be too tough next year. There's going to be a ton of teams and networks that want to have AJ DeBonsa on the air, especially in December. Like, November, I'm not sure those 3 weeks because football's still going, and you're going to get some primetime games there. But, like, BYU was headed to the Diamond Head. That got canceled right now. They're going to go to Orlando in a good tourney. They got Villanova to open the season in Vegas, which is awesome. Whatever it was this year, it's going to be made up for next year with AJ. I just don't want it to be too tough because now you go to 13 games, and you don't want to be, like, 8-5 with a kind of newish group. You still hope you have Richie, Dallin, Kaba and company, AJ, transfers, other high-profile freshmen coming in. But next year, it's a BYU team that you hope will take a step forward. And, hey, this team has proven this year it's going to be tough to be even better than this team. But can you be a top-4 seed with one of the best players in the country in AJ DeBonsa? It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm okay with it because some buys in league would be good.
Yes.
It does mean you're not only adding two games, but it's like two more games in that span. In December, BYU didn't play a lot of games over the last couple of weeks of December. So I would imagine they'd load that up a little more.
Sure.
And you're going to see, like, some primetime matchups for BYU, hopefully in Provo, but maybe neutral-ish stuff. I want, like, a Duke in MSG. We'll await that in the offseason. But Villanova being the opening game.
Awesome.
This is awesome, man. I can't wait for these matchups to come out.
Here's the one thing that I didn't mention that now that I'm circling back on this year that I love about an 18-game schedule, and that is that BYU is not going to have to play a Big 12 conference game when all the students are on Christmas break. They had to open conference play on New Year's Eve against Arizona State. Not saying the crowd wasn't good. It was pretty good, but it wasn't the same. And now with an 18-game schedule, you can start in January when school is back in session and you have everybody in the
building. Well, you're building in two byes. I'm not sure. They may start around the same time.
I saw some reports yesterday that said that they were planning on starting in the new year. So for me, that is a win if they opt to do that.
The calendar must yield an extra week or something because, yeah, if you're building in two byes somewhere, it's going to be a random Tuesday or Saturday twice. And we'll see where those are. I would love Utah to be the regular season finale, unlike football that they did with men's basketball. That was great. I want to play Utah twice still. You're going to play a couple teams just once, a little more than you did this year, right? You only played five teams twice this year. The nice thing is you play everybody, but it makes less of a chance for a Kansas or an Arizona to come back to Provo.
Yeah.
Those were awesome games this year. So 20 is great. It means you're playing two more really good games. But the buys, I think, are important for everybody in this league.
Yeah, so you'll play three teams twice instead of the five. To me, I guess I'm just going off of what the coaches say, and that is that they're with you on what the break and a breather could do for a team to maybe get healthy and just
Kevin Young's
take a
like,
breath.
We don't play any back-to-backs. We don't play 3-4. Like, what's the big deal here?
Yeah, he's an NBA guy. He's come from a different world. That, no doubt about it. That guy is different.
Two games a week. This is great.
All right, let's keep the show rolling. 4-seed BYU in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals after their double bye, 12:30 Eastern, 10:30 a.m. in the morning, Mountain Time. They'll take on the winner of 5-seed Iowa State and 13-seed Cincinnati. That game is just tipping off. Pre-game coverage at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on BYU Radio. After the break, Kalani Sitake gives us an update from BYU football spring practice, plus a second straight day with an incredible golf shot from BYU's men's team. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Kansas City with Jerem Jordan, and I'm Spencer Linton here in Provo, Utah. We're everywhere. Let's get to today's headlines.
Men's basketball flew to Kansas City yesterday. They're going to get a practice in today. They play in the quarterfinals tomorrow morning or early afternoon. 12:30 Eastern time. Results from day one of the Big 12 tournament. 13 seed Cincinnati beat 12 seed Oklahoma State, 87-68. Cincinnati going to play 5 seed Iowa State. Winner of that one plays BYU Thursday. 16 seed Colorado held off 9 seed TCU's comeback, 69-67 to advance. K-State knocked off Arizona State, 71-66. Coleman Hawkins at 26. And 14 seed UCF ends 11 seed Utah season, 87-72.
Second round games at the Big 12 tournament currently underway. And BYU fans dialed in on 13 seed Cincinnati and 5 seed Iowa State. The Cyclones lead 7-2. And very early in this game, just a few minutes in, BYU takes on the winner of that game tomorrow morning. 16 seed Colorado trying to keep their dreams alive against 8 seed West Virginia. Winner of that game will have their dream ended against number 1 seed Houston. 10 seed Kansas State takes on the 7 seed Baylor for a chance to play number 2 Texas Tech in those same quarterfinals. And UCF, who Jeremy just mentioned beat Utah, has an opportunity against number 6 seed Kansas. 3 seed Arizona awaits the winner of that contest in the next round.
BYU football held its first practice of week 3 of spring ball yesterday. Head coach Kalani Stock says the team's using this time to make up for not playing a spring game.
Although we won't play a spring game, I know that we're doing a lot of physical work. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw that, the stuff that we're doing, situational football, but you know, it's just with our top guys, they're out there playing and tackling and they're getting better. So if we can keep working that way in the next part of the rest of camp, spring ball, then I'll be really, really pleased with how we're going to go going into the offseason before fall.
Kalani Sitake was also the keynote speaker at the devotional yesterday. He did a spectacular job. Great talk by Kalani. It's available on BYUtv.org and the free BYU TV app.
Former BYU offensive lineman Brady Christensen has re-signed with the Carolina Panthers, a one-year deal worth $2.78 million, fully guaranteed. Good for Brady. Christensen, remember, drafted by the Panthers in the third round of the 2021 NFL Draft, has 30 career starts at left guard, left tackle, or center for Carolina over his first 4 seasons.
Softball won at Utah Tech. Texas Tech would be nice, too. They'll try for that. 14-0 last night in 5 innings. Cougars scored 14 runs on 15 hits. We're led by Ilova Brittingham, who hit her team-leading 6th homer. BYU is scheduled to play Idaho State in a doubleheader home opener tomorrow, but the game was postponed due to inclement weather. The game will be rescheduled at a later date.
Number 22, BYU men's golf, finished in 4th place at the Lampkin Invitational in San Diego, shooting 12 under par as a team. Simon Kwan led the Cougars with a top 3 finish, his 2nd of the season individually, but the shot of the day, holy cow, comes from Cole Ponich. Number 11, nice smooth swing, couple of bounces, and in the cup, a hole in one for Cole Ponich. I love that Todd Miller was there to film it. That's an elite coach, man. Todd does social media the right way.
He's recording these guys at the same time he's coaching.
He does it the right way for men's golf. If I need to know what's happening with the team, I just go to Todd's Instagram story and just follow. He's got all of the best shots.
Absolutely.
All of the updates. That guy gets it done. Those are your headlines. After the break, let's go back to the basketball theme. I go one-on-one with AJ DiBonza. His favorite moment from BYU's season thus far, and which team does he want to see BYU play in the Big 12 tournament? Stay with us.
One more time for future Cougar, AJ DiBonza.
I'm playing to win, so I'm going to be doing winning plays. I might not look as pretty, but when I do get the opportunity, you might see a couple oohs and ahs because I'm naturally like an exciting player to watch.
BYU Sports Station continues live from Studio B. Jerem Jordan will join us again from Kansas City in just a few minutes. But not before we have the latest and greatest conversation with BYU basketball signee, the number one recruit in the country. He is AJ DiBonza back on BYUSN. Who does he want to see BYU play in the Big 12 tournament? And what's been his favorite moment this season thus far? That and more right now. AJ, great to catch up with you again. And on the heels of a dramatic, hard-fought BYU basketball win in that rivalry dynamic against Utah, I know you were busy in and of yourself with your own basketball games, but
I do want to get your take on just your perception of that rivalry of BYU and Utah. What are you seeing when those two teams collide?
I mean, we seen it the first game when they played at Utah. I mean, we lost, but it was just packed with energy and fans. And then we played at Marriott. It's the same thing. So I can't wait to play in that rivalry game. Hopefully we can win two next year.
Your future teammates, especially in the second half, go for 51 points, another second half outburst. There's something special happening in the locker room at halftime. From your perspective, what does a halftime speech and those adjustments mean to a team and how you attack the second half?
I mean, usually if the game plan is working on their end, they tend to do the same thing. So you can exploit it by, you know, having a good halftime speech. But I actually think The Rock just helps because teams start missing and then we start making shots.
You lived it. You were there for the West Virginia experience. And what is that? I mean, you've played in front of some good crowds, but as far as like college environments and BYU's environment, what makes that one special and unique?
I mean, it's just because when I had a student section, it was like towards the side, like the side bleachers, but The Rock is directly behind the backboard and you actually see everything they're saying. You hear everything they're saying. You see all the posters and stuff. So it's hard to not look at. It's hard to not get distracted by.
There were a lot of big time plays in the game, especially in the second half. As I mentioned, BYU going for 51. There's Yegor Demins behind the back dribble to find Mawit Mag for an open three. Dallin Hall hits a huge 30-foot three-pointer right before halftime. Big blocks by Kaba and Trey Stewart. What was your favorite moment from the rivalry win?
I think the Trey Stewart block. Yeah, we didn't know he can get up like that, so I'll say the Trey Stewart block.
BYU has now won 8 straight games. Hard to imagine. At one time, they were 6-6 in Big 12 play. They just gotten blown out on the road at Cincinnati, but they start this streak at West Virginia and cap it by beating Utah. What's been your favorite moment within the 8-game win streak in BYU's recent rise?
I mean, I just have to say the West Virginia game since I was in attendance, just the whole game, but mainly like just the second half, like just seeing the run. I actually seen the West Virginia players' faces and how frustrated they were because we was over there talking trash in the student section. So, I mean, I know I was there, so I have to say the West Virginia game.
Love that. AJ DeBonta is with us on BYU Sports Nation. I want to rewind to BYU's double overtime win at Iowa State. Incredible. Cougs are up 21. That lead dissipates. You go into not one but two overtimes, and they find a way. Why do you think BYU was able to do something that so few teams can do and win at Hilton Coliseum against Iowa State?
Just determination. I mean, obviously, KY probably had a few pointers to them, and when KY speaks, they listen. So, I mean, that's a tough gym to play in. So I think you just have to be super locked in, super focused, and just determined to go out there and do it. Obviously you're up 21, so like you don't want to get too compromised and like start like playing down. But I mean, they're a tough team to play against. They were top 3 in the Big 12 at that time. So I mean, they were going to fight back, but you know, we stayed calm.
There were so many winning moments in that game. And I know you're a man who can appreciate a good chase down block. So what was your perspective of Kaba's play to run the length of the floor and do that?
Yeah, I was watching the game live and like we turned it over and I was like, oh my gosh. And he's not in the frame when he's going up for the layup and then he goes up for the layup, he comes out of nowhere and just blocks it. And I started jumping up and down on the floor.
One of the greatest defensive plays in BYU basketball history, no doubt about it. As mentioned, BYU's won 8 straight, 14-6. They finished tied for third. They're the 4 seed going into Kansas City. What makes tournament play, because you do a lot of it, different than just the regular season?
I mean, pressure. I mean, you're playing in a mutual site now, so it's not like home court advantage. So, I mean, it's kind of even now. Like, you're not used to the rims. You might have 50-50 fans on both sides. So, I mean, you really just got to – it's really you against the world. Are you against the other team?
BYU jumped into the national rankings a few weeks ago at number 25, then jumped 2 spots. Now they're number 17 this week. What do you feel like is the ceiling for this BYU team? And how much do rankings in the AP poll even matter at this time of year?
It goes 50-50. I mean, rankings don't really matter like as a whole, but you know, for seeding to get in the tournament, I wouldn't say it matters because you're going to play tough. Every game's a tough game, but you know there's higher percentages of winnable games when you're in the higher rankings. So, I mean, you definitely want to up the rankings. You play against a quote unquote lesser team, but you know it doesn't really matter at the end of the day because teams are going to play hard. It's a tournament. They make runs.
It feels like BYU's finally getting some of their due credit. You know, we talked about the number 17 national ranking. They're a four seed in the Big 12 tournament with the double bye. Joe Lunardi of ESPN Bracketology moved BYU up to a five seed projected in the NCAA tournament. How do you feel about that being as a is that a fair seed in your perception of what this BYU team is right now?
Yeah, so I'm in for 17th in the country. I think that's pretty fair. I mean, you can't be a 1, 2, or 3, depending like what we've seen what 1, 2, and 3 are doing. Like they've only lost one game in conference play. So I mean, obviously we're not there yet, but I think 5 is pretty fair, and I think we can go far with 5.
AJ, when you are a player and you don't exactly know who you're going to match up with, for BYU, it'll be either Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, or Iowa State. If you were on this BYU team, who would you want to play? Because the last game BYU lost was against Cincinnati, but then again, the Iowa State team is so good. Maybe that gets you a little bit more ready in the juice of the tournament. So which side are you choosing there?
No, I think for me, if I get blown out by Cincinnati, I'm going to want my rematch against Cincinnati. So that would be my pick. But, I mean, I'm going to get up for every one of those games, any one of those three games. But I think as a rematch standpoint, revenge standpoint, I would want Cincinnati.
Okay, let's get to your upcoming games and tournament on Saturday, 8:30 p.m. If people want to watch you, they can go to Highland High School in the Salt Lake City area and watch you take on The Fort, a team out of Canada. Obviously, you're playing with Utah Prep. So what are you looking forward to most about your next tournament?
That's the first round of playoffs. So, I mean, obviously, this is our chance to win our league championship. So we have to win these two games to make it to the semis and the finals. So, I mean, it'll be good if we can have a mini rock at Highland High School. So
let's go. The mini rock. Let's get the mini rock to Highland High School. We're calling them out. BYU fans, make it happen. Saturday night, 8:30, Highland High School. And correct me if I'm wrong, if you win that game, you play Sunday at 4:15 as well, correct?
Yeah, Sunday at 4:15.
AJ, great to talk to you, man. We'll see you at Highland High School. Good luck.
Thank you.
AJ DeBonta on BYU Sports Nation. You have your opportunity. People have been asking me, how do I watch AJ? Well, if you're in the Utah area, Highland High School, Salt Lake City, Saturday night, you can go cheer on your future Coug, AJ DeBonta. You can see the full-length interview that we did there. That was only 8 minutes. It went 16, so a ton of good stuff in there available, full interview on YouTube. If you miss any of our interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, by the way, you can find them on BYUSN.com. Download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content your heart can handle. Still on the way. Special rise and shout out for a big time devotional delivery. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Kansas City at the Big 12 Tournament and in Provo, Utah. Our question of the day, how much will BYU's performance in the Big 12 tourney impact their placement on Selection Sunday? Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, submitted by Seth LaPierce on Instagram, who says, maybe move BYU up or lock up a 5 seed if they beat Iowa State or Cincinnati, but peak to me is a 4 seed if BYU wins the tournament. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Jaren, where are we going?
Kalani Sitake, what a devotional address he had. Here's a portion of it in case you missed it.
You're going to experience adversity and difficult times. You're in it. Congratulations. You're seeking the divine design set for you. If you get your heart broken, good for you. That means you're a step closer to finding true love, right? If you're struggling in school, awesome. That means you're pushing yourself through some discomfort and learning new skills. If you're struggling financially, that's okay. It means you're learning how to budget and will be thankful and humble when more compensation arrives. And if you didn't get the job, that only means there's something better waiting for you. God knows. Good times are ahead.
Wow. Powerful words from Kalani Sitake, a worthy rising shadow. Our thanks to today's guests, BYU men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess and BYU basketball signee AJ DeBonsa.
Sorry, Dennis, ran out of time.
Jerem, go watch basketball, why don't you? For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Steve Trumbull. We'll see you tomorrow on Big 12 Tournament Game Day. Go Cougs!